Okay, we're up to Mem Tes in the Maamar Sheni. We had one of the most pointed exchanges that we had so far in the Kuzari, and that was the accusation by the Melech that he finds that the Mesiras Nefesh, or the Precious of the religious non-Jews, is greater than the precious of Klal Yisrael. That the Jews, he doesn't see in the Jews that they separate themselves from the physical pleasures of this world to the degree that some other religions do. And to that, the Chaver responded that I thought we talked about a Yisrael already earlier. He said, Shachachta, you've forgotten.
Who?
He saw all of them. It begins, the book actually begins with the idea that the Khuzar wanted to understand all of the world's religions, and he had a dream that his intentions are, where he had a vision that told him his intentions are good, but his behavior is not. And for that reason, he was looking for an understanding of all the world's religions. And this is a description of his exchange. In the very beginning, we meet members of other religions who make their presentation. And here, having decided that Judaism was the original religion, and comparing it to Islam and Christianity, he wanted to delve into and understand Judaism. He was exposed to Jews. The Chaver was a Jew. It was one of his. Yeah. Now, Jews are everywhere. It's even before Lubavitch, Jews are everywhere. With Lubavitch, Jews are really everywhere. But okay. That's what we had last. That the Chaver said that we've already said that religion can't be established by what people decide to do. It has to be established by God. And if God says to fast, you fast. And if God says to eat, that you can eat, there's no reason to fast. And therefore, a religion that's based on people's whims can't have a kiyum. It can't remain because it's inconsistent. That was the Chaver's response. And here, Omar HaKuzari, now here there are two ways to explain the following words. I wonder which one the English translation chooses. There are those who put the word loy kama, kefi asher hagdamta. No, I understand your hagdama. And those have without a comma, like kefi asher hagdamta, it's not as you said. There are two perushim underneath, and one goes with each. Either way, the explanation of what he's about to say is the following. He says, and I like better the oitzenech, but he says, loy. No, I didn't forget what we already discussed. Kefi asher hagdamta. Even with your introduction, even if you understand that a religion has to be based on the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's true for the Jews who received the Torah at Sinai. But avodas hafilisafim, but according to the philosophers who didn't receive a Torah at Sinai, yeh adam chasid v'leyargish be'ezeh das sheyizkarev, a person can be righteous and not know what religion to choose. In bis yahed, if to be as a Jew, I bis natsar, to be as a Nazareth, as a Christian, I bis ulasel, maybe something else, a bedavash yibadem laatzmayos, maybe something he decides on his own. Ukevar shavnu ela hakosha vasfora hasichlius veschachmos, and it's true we already discussed the difficulty in logic with a world in which each person chooses a different religion. It can't be a world in which each person decides on what's right and what's wrong, what's God's will. Is that bottle? That can't be. So his point is that it's good for Klal Yisrael who accepted the Torah, but what is what's supposed to be the guiding principle of the non-Jews? And in this he means to say that how could it be that the non-Jews who don't have a Torah Mesinai seem to be more devoted to their own ideas than Klal Yisrael, who has a Torah Mesinai. That's his complaint to the Chavar. He says, I didn't forget the idea we discussed, but that doesn't explain the world. Amar HaChavar. So the Chavar responds. That's really a bit too long of a response to learn in one sitting, and since Yom Tov is coming, we're not going to learn again till Yisro Chag, or the Thursday after Yom Tov. But I'd like to start that which he says, and maybe find a connection in Hashkafa to the upcoming Yom Tov of Sukkot. So let's learn the idea that he says, and then try to see where it takes us. So we're going to learn a couple of pages in this print to try to get the theme of what he's saying. Amar HaChavar, V'saris Maisha Loi Hevida Isanu Beprishus. Taras Maisha did not teach Jews to practice a life, an aesthetic life, a life of abstinence. In the Hagdama to his Sefer on Hilchas Nida, the Ramban writes that the Torah permits the pleasures of this world with a price. The price is the mitzvah associated. Now, you can eat meat. The price is you have to shech the animal and treva the animal and salt the meat. And that's the price in Ruchnius that you pay for the pleasures of this world. He says, Hilchas Nida is the same thing. The restrictions are the price that make all of the pleasures into a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah because you eat meat after you do these mitzvahs. You experience the pleasure of this world subject to the mitzvahs. In Achinami, we have this idea that it makes the enjoyment more. So he says, Ach b'derech hashava, the Torah teaches a middle road. B'derech hashava, v'loseis l'chol koyach mikoyches ha-nefesh v'ha-guf, chalkoi b'tzedek mibli ribui. To give everything that is a physical instinct or potential, its right place, mebli ribui, without going overboard, ki aribui b'kayach echad, kitzor b'kayach echad, b'kayach acher. In general, a person has to be balanced. Overdoing it in one area will cause a shortfall in the other area. Umishanota im kayach ha-taiva, kotzor b'kayach ha-machshava. Somebody is pursuing taiva all the time, will not stop and think about his obligations in the world. And somebody who's busy focusing on a serious sense of obligation in this world will not take care of his body. Somebody who pushes to always be right will mistreat somebody who the people around him. Vein rav ha-tainis ha-vayda. And fasting too much will cause weakness to somebody who is not well. It's proper to take good care of your body. The same thing, abstaining from money, it's not an avoida. If somebody can make money, without going overboard. How much work is going overboard, I guess depends on your frame of reference. And he won't be distracted by his kinyanim mina chokhma v'amaisim tovim. If it's not too much, it doesn't distract him. Kol shkein l'mishi eshli tipul ubanim, somebody who has people he's involved with, or family, or ma'avoyav, and other interests, l'haitzi l'shem shemayim, to spend his money in a correct way. Acharibu yaisi nachin lai. Giving such a person more money is even better. To be a from Yid, you can't have one without the other. You can't have fear without Ahava, without love for other people, and Simcha and joy. And here in Deutz Nichban on the bottom, he makes a very interesting, I guess, psychological observation. Yira and Ava, Yiras Hashem and Avas Hashem, we know, have to go hand in hand. Too much Yiras Hashem without Avas Hashem doesn't work, and the reverse. Here in the footnote, he writes that it's human nature. His language is Ein ha'ava rak mitzad hasimcha. A person doesn't develop a love for other people, not only for Hashem, unless he's happy. A happy person gets along with other people, is friendly with other people, and develops good relationships. A miserable person withdraws into himself and is unable to have proper relationships with other human beings. So he makes this point, his language, like in the Yitzhak, but it's the last 7 or 8 lines. It's really a very powerful observation about of human nature. It's not going to happen that you're going to connect to other people unless you have at least a ma'at, at least some element of joy. It's a person who's always worried and always in a state of sadness. In his depression and his worry, he's not going to be able to have a cheshek, a desire for anything. And having a love with other human beings won't happen. It's a very true thing. He says, "Amru Chazal, apoyim chanusa nefishi achiyum arachmi." If there's a lot of food, there's a lot of friendship. As I'll say, asid bishalakum, because through eating and drinking, you develop social contacts. The reverse of that is the idea of a siyum, where when you make a siyum by eating and drinking, you develop certain relationships, a certain simcha. So the idea being that too much yira stops avas Hashem that we know, but ava v'simcha, he says also, atoli zeh v'zeh. We've spoken about the two schools of Musar, the shiftless Adam and godless Adam. It's very hard to talk about the schools of Musar in the sense that they seem to, when taken literally, they seem to take things to an extreme. And it depends what has to be connected. I mentioned to you once that I once asked Rav Palm about Slabotka. Now, he was in Slabotka as a 12-year-old. He was really in the Yeshiva Ketana, which is the high school there. But I asked him why the Alta of Slabotka gave canes to the Yeshiva Bachrim. They weren't limping. They didn't need a cane to walk. A cane in that society was a sign of prestige. So why? You know, that's Gaiva. You're giving the Yeshiva Bachrim canes to walk with. So he told me that he couldn't possibly convey to me the feeling of inferiority which society gave to those who sat and learned at that time in our history. There was a certain sense of inferiority. I mentioned to you in the past that a lot of the historic trends were developments based on need rather than noble cause. The idea in the Lithuanian world that Yeshiva Bachrim got married late, and it became a noble thing that a real Ben Taira didn't get married until he was in his late 20s or 30, which seemed to mean that he was sitting and learning and steiging, so he didn't get married. So Rav Palm said that they gave it a noble face. The reason they didn't get married is because there were no girls interested in marrying boys who were sitting and learning. There was nobody doing it, so they gave it a good face. I think it's very much the same way today, where the yeshivas learn very slowly. They cover very, very little ground. It comes from the weakness in the attention span of the Yeshiva Bachrim. So they've given it a face of steiging by learning 5 or 6 blot over a winter. History is going to look back at it at a very sad time in our history, that boys sat and learned maybe 10 blot over a winter's man, first Seder and 10 blot, second Seder. And you look at Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, you know, they learned the Masechta from cover to cover. So we're too weak to do it. We don't have the energy to do it, so we don't do it that way. But it's really, that doesn't come from noble cause. It comes from sad reality. And that's what's true about the Musa schools. Each one's intense focus on either godless Adam or shiftless Adam was a need of the time. Yes. I'm sure there were places where it was so. Rabbi Dessler was in England and Manchester, and it was so. It was not that way in Lithuania. It's historically not true about Lithuania in the early 1900s. So Rabbi Dessa said it's a noble thing, but I don't think he said that there were girls waiting in line to do it. And you know something, in Poland, it was also, in Poland in the early 1900s, it was also, people have this picture of a religious life in Poland before the Holocaust. But it's not true. In Warsaw, there was strong religious life. But in Poland, the Jewish parties had representation in the Polish Congress. And the overwhelming majority of the Jewish representatives were not religious. There were Yechidim that were religious. And it's a certain... In Warsaw also there were many more fry. I just think that the religious Jews, by their nature, were settled into the cities. But yeah. At any rate, Tiskarev, so again, the bottom line, Klolei Shodavik, there are Seinu Nechlekes Ben Yira Ava V'Simcha, Tiskarev Eloikecha B'chol Achas Mehena, and become close to God with each one, Ve'ikin Yoscha B'Mei Atainis, and the fact that you're Machnia yourselves, that you bend to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a fast day, as on Yom Kippur, it's not Yosek Ruv Elikim, it's Simchoscha B'Yimei HaShabbos Yisvam Ayadim. The Avodah fasting on Yom Kippur doesn't bring you any closer to God necessarily than the joy of a Shabbos or the joy of a Yom Tif. She'atiya Simchoscha B'Kavana V'Leiv Shalem. When your Kavana will be with the joy and with a complete heart. So here I just want to interject, because some Sukkos is around the corner, an idea regarding Sukkos. I think many of us wonder why we're still saying L'David Hashem Ayri. L'David Hashem Ayri is an Elul part of the prayers, and for some reason we keep on saying it until Shemini Atzeres. There are two faces to Sukkos. Sukkos actually serves two purposes. It's the third of the Shalish Regalim, the way the Torah lists the Shalish Regalim. It says Chag HaMatzis, Chag HaShavuos, Chag HaSukkos, as we say in the Musaf Shemini Esrei. It's also the third of the Yomim Neiraim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkos. And Sukkos is really a Yom Tif that has two faces to it, two ponim. It has a face of the end of Yomim Neiraim and the end of Shalosh Regalim. There are two mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of Sukkah and a mitzvah of Arba Minim. The other Yom Tovim, Pesach, has one mitzvah, matzah and maror, but it's one mitzvah. But here we have two distinct mitzvahs. Sukkah is a mitzvah of Shalish Regalim. Tesvav, there's a hekesh to Sukkos. The idea of Lulav and Esrig is a Yomim Meiram type of thing. It's Dengera Beina de Sitna, the Gemara says. It's really a struggle with the Satan. Hashanah Rabbah is the end of Sukkos, which comes with the sort of the last Yom Hadin. We see Yom Kippur as the Yom Hadin Mitzad HaYira, and the Shana Rab is the Yom Hadin Mitzad HaSimcha. And we take use the Arba Minim, or at least the Aravis, as part of the celebration. Mara says, on Sukkos we judge for water, on Pesach we judge for the wheat of the year, and on Shavuos for the fruits of the year. Well, you don't make a special tefillah for the fruits of the year on Shavuos, or a special tefillah for the wheat of the year on Pesach, while we have a special tefillas hageshem on Pesach, which I guess is similar to tefillas tal, which we do when geshem ends. But also it's a yom hadin type of a thing, and therefore Sukkos has within it both elements: the element of the yira together with the element of the ava and simcha. And it's something, which is why we continue with Davar HaShemayri, is really a hemshach, in a certain aspect, of the Yomim Neiraim.